business,
describes the earth right now is broken. Okay, whenever I come home,
talk about this a few moments ago. Whenever I go home, I am in awe at how I thought things were being constructed together, and then I walk in and I see, oh, you know, that thing's out of place, this thing's out of place. Even with me growing up, I might not know that I'm very particular about physical space. I didn't realize this until I had a house. And I didn't realize this until I got married. So this is no fault of myself. This is me. But whenever I call home, I can't help but notice all my goodness. There's a bunny rabbit on the counter next to a bowl of cereal. I can't help but notice. And I think for some of us, we're really organized as people, so we like things the way that we know that we should, right? And in that way, creation is constantly going into this word, this way. That's the way it is now. Creation is very broken. Just look at the world. Okay? Look at the world. We know that right now there are natural disasters. There are things that are going on in nature that work against humanity, right? We just know a couple weeks ago we had the typhoon in the world. They followed the weather and wiped out an entire town. More than that, we look at pregnancies. And I know many of us have relatives or friends who are hurting. In our church and we know men who are hurting for children. And when we look at our bodies as they break down, and how that is also part of creation, how creation is going through this word is falling apart. And the word that Paul uses to describe creation here, he says that creation is caught up in bondage to corruption. In other words, it's decay. You leave it long enough, it will fall apart. But more than that, there's just active destruction. Yes, there are times you look out and see beautiful sunrise, you see the glory of God, you see the glimpse of the glory of God. It's time that you're going to take a bite and you're going to think, God, this is so good, creation is so good. But at the same time, this creation is struck with utility. It's not able to do the job it was originally meant to do to be on the floor. And when we look at Advent, one of the hopes that we have. God is going to restore that. Okay, so the first point here is creation is hurting. It is broken. And you might think, well, why is this? We may think it is our fault. Actually, the impetus for the modern environmental movement is that it's our fault as humans that the world is, you know, the ecosystem and habitat are being lost. Destroyed that is our fault. And that may be we do full responsibility for taking care of this world. God created us to be caretakers, to be people who would, in a sense, shepherd this world. But in another sense, who rules them? The easy answer might be that we did with people for that. That may be an answer that we're congratulating for. But if we look at Genesis 3, get ready to put there, because we're going to go there in a moment. Okay. Genesis 3 kind of makes us insight. Okay. But before that, let's take a look at what Romans has to say. Romans 19. To the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God, verse 20. To the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. That the creation will be set free from bondage to corruption and obtain freedom for the glory of the children of God. And when you look at who wrote creation, there's a couple of cultures that we put up on the, what would they call that thing? You know, the minor, the mugshot, right? You put my mugshot there, before Adam, it was just put Adam as Adam was the first man. Adam, you put God up there, okay? You can put creation sort of personified up there, okay, Adam called it. And you can put, I guess this is the message of Satan, you know it's back down, right? Put Satan up there. Now, before we get this, this is what happened when the creation is broken. Last week I mean that we're just as well. Here we are. In Genesis 3, verse 7, this is the Lord speaking. In Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat. And first is the ground because of you. In pain, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles, it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread. So you reach the ground. For out of it, you are taken. For you are dust, and dust you shall return. The four colors that we've got up there. You've got man. You've got God. You've got world. Creation. You've got things. Okay. We can eliminate those one by one. For man, it can't be man, because if you look at Romans 8:20, it says the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it to hope. It seems to be a purpose. Okay, purpose, hope. But if people did it, they would have broken the earth, subjected the earth to its misery, not out of hope, but out of mistake. Okay, so it's not that. And then if you look at whether or not it would be safe, again, whoever did it rejected creation in hope. Satan, however, you cannot break something for his hope. Satan can only break something for his sin. But Satan can only break something for evil. So Satan was not the one to hope. The earth itself. Again, if you look here in Romans 8:20, it says that creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected. So it's not creation itself. So the person who wrote creation was God himself. God. And that's important because I don't know if you've ever had a broken. If you're younger, you know, maybe one time across Destiny, our summer camp, that when we were invited to get the retreat house of this one of the junior counselors. So it was possible to do this. Out here camp is such a perfect confrontation of it. And our entire across Destiny team went in full of young college students and some pre-college students. And we're kind of running around, and something just crashed, and then it's a baby that falls to the ground. And we're looking around, we're thinking that thing probably wasn't cheap. I'm guessing that was the dog was big.
No!
And what happens is, it's like, oh, you did it, no, you pushed me. Not very efficient response, okay, it's natural thing. After the first person did it, it's obvious. But, when you create something, that's the idea that you should fix it. And that's what we're kind of here. We also broke many things that helped that day, or that night. Somebody ran and said, you have those screens, those screens that are impossible to see, like, and then something like ran right into the screen, not but when you create something, you should be the one to kind of fix it. And this is, it kind of gets us to the idea that, well, who broke creation? There is responsibility for people. God said, in the passage that we just read, when he said, cursed is the ground of health, and cursed is the land, but at the same time, I want to argue that the curse of the ground, the curse of the land, is not a natural consequence of what is natural consequence? What is natural consequence? I have a child. She is almost two now, but a couple months ago, we used to. She's not able to figure out that she can't come to the edge of bed or she falls and, we're not falling over. So we went to a wedding and we're at a hotel getting ready for the wedding. So we both, Emily and I, both had to get there. And there, my daughter was in bed. And then we both looked at her at the same time and saw her at the end of the bed, and she was like 12 months old, 13 months at the time. And we we saw her sitting over, fall over, and fall and hit us to the ground. And you know, we freaked out because it's the first time. A couple months later, after the end, she learned things that she figured out that she knew what the consequence of that. She was reaching for something on a high dresser on our bed is rather high, and she reaches, and then tips over, falls, crash, this time, because, you know, a little more experience, just don't figure out. But the natural consequence, is if you reach for something high off the bed on the bed, and try to reach for it, and go to the edge of the bed, you may fall over, and you may hurt. That's natural. A natural consequence is, if you, you know, if you are sick and you throw your food, you're not going to have any because you just chose the food to throw the food that it has. And that's the consequence is if you say something that hurts your friends really, you're not going to have any natural consequences. Natural consequences are part of the thing that you do. I would argue that without a need, eating of the fruit, seeing that God's belly is God, that the curse of the man is not the natural. And so if that's true, then God himself has to come in and add another consequence on top. Okay. So let me get from that story that I want to say about the prophecy of the Bible to say, a natural consequence would be if the student is good there and doesn't do his homework. Over the long haul, he's going to come up with a great excellent one. Okay, and then over the long haul of that, he's not going to tell you that he wants to. But because our loving counselor wants to shortcut that process, he imposes the unnatural consequence. So if the student doesn't play, if the student doesn't finish their homework, no monopoly of that, or no God at all. Okay. So, what's going on? Who wrote this speech? And why did he do it? It went on to be necessarily. It was not the one thing with God. God did not curse the earth because of what man did. If we think it's unfair that God would go at what we don't understand is that things. And why God had to come in here better, come in and curse the land, is that otherwise, how would we go the state of our mortal brokenness if we did not do this? In a sense, God imposed this consequence upon the earth as mercy. He did that. It's what the parents do. It's what so why then is the Lord blessing for us? Why is it for us? Let's read verse 21. So what is the third point now? 21 says, God accepted the creation to the utility. Verse 21, that the creation itself will be set free from bondage to destruction, and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation is growing together and not only the case, but we ourselves who have the first of the Spirit grown inwardly as we await eagerly the adoption of that. Why is the creation broken? It's because God is using creation to remind us that we need our better way of food. I don't know if you know the illustration about the mud pie and the creation at sea or a holiday at sea. It was a book on Christianity, and one of the videos that is used illustrations of why don't we desire creation? Why do we desire heaven? Why is that so? Why are we so comfortable here? And he takes illustration of a boy who's playing in paint, making mud pie, and having a lot of fun. And then somebody comes along, maybe parents comes along, they have. Hey, would you like to go on holiday at sea? And the boy who kind of stuck up with me says, well, are there mud pies there? And whoever the adult says, well, probably not. God imposed so that we would not feel sweet at home right now.
And give you an illustration. At the after program, sometimes at the end of the day, it's a problem. Every day, it's a problem. And, you know, it's a problem. It's a good time because I don't need to go home. And they need to go home and see their parents. I need to go home. But a lot of times, our students might not really want to be. They want to see what they're doing. They have a good time. And so, in order to get them moving, there's a couple things we need to do. One of them is using the light off of the window that they're approaching. It's kind of mean. Another thing that we do, I used to do a lot more now, but now that the camera's off, we're set to go over to China, we can't do as much, but I used to sit down and start playing piano and singing loudly and not bothering the stress. God does this to point out that there is a hope that we feel that is greater than what we have. And, the appropriate response to this is not, God, why? I guess you can think about why. It's appropriate ask, but it's not the attitude of Jesus that has that. The appropriate attitude is this, is not, well, I guess this is the best I guess right now. I'll offer myself to the world. I'm going to try to do the best job I can now, make the most money I can now, live the best life I can now, marry the biggest girl I know about right now. That's not the appropriate response. The appropriate response is more of what creation has. That word is growing. Growing in your expectations. Waiting. It's like those two factors are, that say, are we there yet? 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 We should be able to, but that's sort of the attitude that we're called to have. So if we have a broken, broken is going to create the mindset that we need to have hope in something else. But how do we have hope? Wait, for what is the hope for creation? What is the hope that God has for us and for all of the creation? There's two ways that people can answer that question. First way they can answer that question, well, hope for humanity in the world is in human progress. So for example, pharmaceuticals are getting awesome, technology is getting awesome. I got myself a really interesting stress. I got myself a neck thermostat. And I got a review rebate on it from the energy company, and we loved it, and they're so much more trusting. Okay, but I got a neck thermostat, and so much fun. We played turns and dials, and like, it's not such a display, but mind blowing. And it's up to the internet, but actually, right now, I just turned my thermostat off. And my mom and my daughter are really cold at home. But I won't. But beautiful technology that is now, and this new technology is going to help do a lot of conservation and preservation of natural resources here. But in a greater sense, as much as human progress can do, that is not the hope that we have. Because because who wants to grow creation? If it's God who grows creation, then we cannot undo, unbreak what we grow. If God wrote for our purpose, to save us, to point us towards greater hope, then we work against Him when our creation happens. That is not to say, however, that we should let the world go to whatever it goes against, to let the world and enslave it. That's the thing that evangelicals refuse to model. Evangelicals, Christians, faith that we have, are accused of not caring about the world. So don't bother, recycling this paper, because don't bother making food, because in the end, it's all different anyway, right? That's the attitude, but that's not what we're called to. Okay? So, a little bit of caveat, we are called to broken reputable entity until the Lord steps in and brings that. But we're called to be our Lord. So the one way that we can answer that question of what is the most important creation of is human progress, which we're going to make it happen. The second way that we can answer that is typically more traditional religious people, which is we are hope, in the face of suffering and broken world, is that someday through Jesus, God's going to take us, we're going to wrap up, and we're going to go join the movement in the past. And we are going to be away from this world. This world is not my home, my interest has. This song, a lot of truth in it. And yet, we think it literally comes. This world is not. God made this world. But right now, it's not the way it is to be. And right now, enter death, decay, destruction. Right now, we eat. Broken body. I feel in back my spine, and I'm going on the past several years. What is that thing about the next step when we're about to have it's just another thing about how, these things kind of like not that. You look at yourself and see the gate in the street, hold on. Leaving this world is because when we die. Yes, we're going to be the Lord. The ultimate destiny of men is not the spiritual world, but it's the destiny that Jesus Christ gives when he is relevant. He has his body. In this passage here, in verse 21, the hope is that creation itself is that we can bondage to watch and obtain the freedom. Glory from the children of God. Verse 22. For we know that all creation has been growing together in the things of childhood and wrath. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, growing inwardly as we await the adoption of sons and redemption of our hearts. God has called us to Christian life. And we are to be renewed in the way that we never. We have bodies that are resurrection. And in the same way, first, we're going to need somewhere to be. We're not going to be able to be in a spiritual plane. Okay? Because if we are just the body, we're going to be in a spiritual plane. And that is the earth. Paul talks about how the earth is going to be free from the bondage to decay. Why bother freeing the earth from the bondage to decay if we're not free? So what is the hope? The hope is this. The hope is that God is going to restore both creation and humanity. God has a final form, if you will, for humanity, and a final form for the world. Okay, so when you look at yourself, you wake up in the morning, you feel kind of odd, full or squeezed and realizing another day gets older. You're playing basketball and you think about people, say to yourself, this is me, my son. And when you look to your earth and you think, glory, freedom, that is adoption, that unfruitful spirit, is really what's passed up and invited to go into it. But Paul is saying that there is a hope for humanity to be restored. So think of your relatives, your friends, your relatives and friends who are sick. People that you know who died, who have fallen asleep in the Lord, who have died in a hope of resurrection. They are going to be well and maybe too. But better than that, well, not just that. Better than that, and sort of being where I'm back in this world, the creation itself is going to be renewed. And right now, all the laws of the world work against us, right? Gravity. Right? That works against us. That is the spot of our law. Okay. inertia, and friction, all those things can work against us. I can't think of many natural laws that help us do something we do to the law. But on the day that the futility of the world is shaken and broken, that's going to be different. Okay. I think of that word futility as, I don't know if you ever have a feeling when you're about to sleep, you want to sleep, and you can't sleep. Most annoying feeling in the world. That feeling of not being able to sleep, you just want to get it out, whatever is in there, and you be better. That futility and longing that Christians are feeling. And that futility and longing that Paul says we're going to have too. So, with humanity, we do restore to glory, freedom, and option, creation, from this bondage to decay. This one decay, and you know, this cycle, you know, as scientists tell us that this world is going to just keep on falling apart, energy until we reach something called heat death. The heat death is the idea that energy will be so dissipated, space will be so fast, and all matter will be so spread out, all energy will be so spread out, that nothing in a sense can happen, nothing will be over. Basically not to become that's a hope that we have. It's not our hope, it's God we have in breaking the cycle, breaking the cycle of sin, breaking all of that. So at that time God's people will finally be ready for the kind of home that we have. He's gonna remake those problems. Often we think the solution to our suffering here on earth is that God is going to take us out of this world, but actually God is always meant for us to stay. And so if you want to draw the environmental principle out of this, okay, is that we're here to stay. Okay, when you lay dying, because one is going to be at that stage at some point, when you lay dying, if you are in Christ, if you're hopeless in Christ, do not say goodbye. Because God is going to bring you right back to the resurrection. For you to finish, for you to do the job that you need. You are not meant to go to God and stay apart and stay in all things. Okay? If you ever thought about that, gee, eternity like that sounds scary. It should sound scary because you are not meant to that. Okay? You're meant to jump, play, to do productive, good work. To learn, to see God, to be in His presence, to enjoy relationships forever. That's what we're doing. Okay. And we'll be able to do that when we really need to be able to pray. So, again, what does it have to do with our identity? As we look forward to, I think we remember the day of Jesus, the manger, and we remember that baby Jesus did not live long. He lived on this earth, eventually died, was resurrected, but he left us a broken world. And the reason why the world is broken is not because God is not there, it's because currently you're not yet the prophet. And the world is not there yet. He's going to do it. And when we look at Advent, we're looking at not just the first coming of Jesus, the second coming of Jesus, when He's going to set the whole world right. But again, in living this out, you have a choice. You can comfort yourself by taking up some home in the cloud, far away. Or you can kind of lose yourself in this world and say there's all that there is to it. Or you can put your hope in the faith of God, who thought it was worthwhile to come down this way so that you can save us and start that process of revealing His ultimate, His magic, final form for us. When He dies, is resurrected. And on that day, we see that hope of resurrection, that God will be able to get God. Was falling apart, you will bring it back together with the meaning and purpose in yourself, and even give it a beauty so great that we'll be different versions of each other. And we'll be thank you for your time.